This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Mark, thank you for joining us. What do you make of this arrangement the president just had with Democrats?
Oh, it's pure classic Donald Trump. I thought it was really smart. You know, the thing about being a salesperson like President Trump is you want to keep deals alive. The biggest fear a salesperson has is that a deal would die. And so working with somebody, even if it's only for a short term, even if it's with the Democrats, keeps the deal alive, and I thought that was very smart.
You know, a lot of Republicans get ticked off, and I know you had some great business success, so you obviously stay close to those with whom you do business and those you want to do business, and even sure, those maybe who might be leery or trying to stop your business. But the lines are blurred here, and I'm just wondering if by embracing the same folks who've been quite critical of him, and maybe to win them over, he makes allowances that Republicans fear are too much, let's say on tax cuts, and he hasn't won anything. What do you make of that?
No, I don't think so. I think he's being the people elected him to be. He's being a non-politician. He's saying, you know, he's not a traditional Republican. He hasn't been a Republican all his life.
True.
You know, he's a deal maker, and that's why he got elected. And so he's trying to get deals done without playing partisan politics. And I think, you know, there's a lot of things I disagree with him on, but this is one thing I think he's hit the nail on the head. Stop being a politician, start working for the people, which I think he's trying to do, and let's get something done. Now, there's still a whole lot more to do, but, you know, do something for the people, and I think he's taken a great first step.
Commenting with Neil Cavuto on the Trump deal with the Democrats. You know, the other thing, Scott, that it does is it brings the Democrats into play. And it's like, okay, what are you going to do with this opportunity? Are you going to be for the people, or are you still going to hold on to your partisanship? So this really calls the question on them, which, you know, is an issue of exposure and reality. So I think for Republicans, they're going to watch and see how this plays out, especially those that are going to be involved in the upcoming election of 2018. What do you think?
I love the move. Mm-hmm. For one, it puts something on the plate that I don't think any president wants to be the president that lets the debt ceiling, you know, things stop and
right,
halt. Even though I think that's the best, honestly, I think that's the best thing to happen, because then it forces the government to actually, you know, balance their budget and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this actually, like you said, I think it brings the Democrats back into play, because now he put this on them.
Right.
If they don't get something worked out, now he can come out and say, look, I've tried it your way. We just tried it your way.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened. Now we're going to do it my way.
Exactly.
And, well, he's got more, a little more leash than they do.
Well, without a doubt, and I think that he has definitely the populace behind him that, you know, as Mark Cuban says, this is why he got elected, you know, to not do business as usual on the Beltway. And let's do things a little bit differently. I think it also it sends a message to Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and those in the Republican Party to say, look, let's get behind this, you know, and let's throw tradition out the window here a little bit. Mitch McConnell seems to want to honor that. He's an old school boy, and I can appreciate it. But we need to deal with the new school attitude. And that is, if we need to go nuclear, then go nuclear. You know, if the way to win is to change a rule that has already been changed, then let it be done. You know, let's move on. Let's get this stuff rolling. And, you know, Congress needs to do what they were hired to do. And that is to make law and make sure the things are funded and all this good stuff here, and do it in a way as much as possible in a conservative manner. That's why they're elected. They said, hey, look, if only we had, well, you got. So now go make it happen. The ball is in their court. Just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour. George Barna, new book. Oh, my goodness. Are you ready for this? Good stuff coming up next right here on Bill Martinez Live.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24-7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
It is 6 minutes after the top of the hour, America. It's always great to have you along with us, and it's great to have our next guest, always the one and only George Barna, Executive Director of the American Culture and Faith Institute. George, welcome as always. How you doing, buddy?
Always great to be with you, Bill.
Hey, I've been looking forward to this opportunity to talk to you because we've been teasing this along the way as you've been working on this new book, The Day Christians Changed America, the subtitle, How Christian Conservatives Put Trump in the White House and Redirected America's Future. I've been a little nervous about the redirection. I could only hope that it is a true staged redirection, maybe, you know, at best a pause button, because the forces that got America off track are still pretty much in play, aren't they?
They certainly are, and really they're taking this as a challenge, unfortunately, and so we'll see what happens. But at least there's hope, and, you know, we keep praying and we keep working.
Well, they take it as a challenge, but Christians and others who believe in the Constitution, here's their chance to fight back. You know, it's not easy. We were never told that it would be easy, whether it has to do with our faith or in politics in this particular case. And if you want to have a Judeo-Christian America to turn over to the next generation, then you have to decide, first of all, is it worth the fight, and are you all in?
Well, and it's important, I think, for us to remember that this is part of a culture war.
Mm-hmm.
Some
yes.
people don't like that terminology, but, I mean, we have to recognize it for what it is. And a war is an ongoing conflict. So the fact that, you know, maybe the 2016 election came out the way we wanted it to, that doesn't mean the war is over. It continues. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that concerns me right now is that there are a lot of people on the left, people with a liberal perspective, people with a with a worldview that's not biblical in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And they are meeting continually. They're already raising money. They're already putting plans into place. They are building new relationships that will expand their influence. And when I look at what's going on the right, people who do have a biblical worldview, they tend to be sitting back and saying, wow, I'm glad that election's over. Sure took a lot out of us. We're tired. We're going to take a rest. And then we'll see where things are at. Well, you can't do that in a war. You can't sit back and say, wow, but we won the last battle. It's the next battle to fight, so we have to be in the game.
And like you say, the left, the progressives, the fight is really becoming more earnest. They've gone back, whether it's to the woods or whatever bastions of repose they've had for just a moment, but they're back fighting again, and twice as hard. And this in spite of the clear-cut evidence, and I would say it's empirical evidence, because when you look back the last time that we moved in the direction similar to where Trump is taking us, let's go back to Ronald Reagan, because there are some similarities here. The evidence is real clear, George, and I believe inarguable, but for progressives, everything's arguable.
Well, it is, because that perspective says that there is no absolute truth. Mm-hmm. And so you watch the mainstream media, they're a great example of it. Everything is about spin. How can we turn this to our advantage? How can we portray things in ways that advance our cause? Rather than trying to figure out what is real, what is truth, let's put that on the table and deal with it for what it is. It's a whole different way of understanding reality, if you will. Mm-hmm. From that vantage point, you could almost say there is no such thing as reality. Reality is what we make it, what we choose it to be, what we will it to be. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very different kind of fight than we've had before. And the prize here is the heart and soul of America. I mean, this is serious business. Mm-hmm. It's not just about winning elections. It's really about taking over people's lives and where we're going to direct those to. So this is vitally important.
And I would guess that these last two sentences that you just stated is the reason why the book, The Day Christians Changed America, because for you, you've stayed mostly in the Christian field, almost near exclusively. And I believe this is your first, political book that you've written. Is that right?
Well, it is. I've written over 50 books, and even though I got started in this business by managing political campaigns, and then I was a public policy analyst in government, and over the last 30 years, I've actually worked in a lot of political campaigns. Mm-hmm. I've got a master's degree in politics, a whole shot. But, yeah, this is the first book I've chosen to write on this. And the reason was, when I look at all of the other publications that have come out, when I watch what they're saying on TV, listen to a lot of what's being said on radio, nobody's talking about the role of faith in that mm-hmm. election. And my contention is you cannot understand the 2016 election in its various facets, not just the outcome, but everything that happened, unless you take a deep look at how faith impacted everything. It was central to what took place.
Kind of interesting leading up to it. If you remember, I think Gallup conducted a poll, and what came out of it that came screaming at me, George, was the secular side of America was saying, where's the Christian voice? We need to hear from Christians, because they were seeing the chaos that was occurring in their culture and what they were running into, and saying, look, we need a moral compass, so send in the Christians.
Well, it's true, but what was really fascinating to me in all the research that we did over the 2 years prior to Election Day, we had surveys, anywhere between one and four different surveys in the field every single day during that two-year period. So we were tracking all kinds of things. We were interviewing pastors. We were interviewing conservative Christians. We were interviewing the public at large, you name it. What fascinated me is that churches pretty much stay, or conservative Christian mm-hmm. churches pretty much stayed out of the game. It was a lot of the more conservative parachurch ministries that really rolled up their sleeves and said, okay, if the local church isn't going to educate Christians about how to think about politics and government and the issues that are at stake, we will take up that challenge. And we saw them really get deeply involved and affect the lives of millions of people, and that really helped to turn the corner on the election.
George, is this why the polling experts missed it? Because it was happening in kind of a subcultural group?
That's part of it. And there was another aspect to it, too, which we discovered, which was the conservative Christian body is completely misunderstood, first of all, by the left, but secondly, by most pollsters. Mm-hmm. And while they get a lot of things right, they don't understand the faith world. And so as we were putting out this information, it was largely being ignored because they thought, what's he talking about? I mean, this is weird stuff. But, you know, I mean, we look much deeper at people's theology. We look at their worldview. We look at how they try to incorporate all of that into their behavior. And that gives us a better read on who a person really is than simply saying, hey, do you think of yourself as an evangelical?
Exactly. Our conversation with George Barna continues. We're talking about his new book, The Day Christians Changed America. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Sage Cons. It is a new faith segment that you're going to be interested to take note of. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're coming at you live.
My husband says, you are what you eat. Not true, dear. I did my research. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So I didn't feel the vitamins and supplements I was taking were effective. I didn't feel any different. Then I switched to Protovite, a liquid multivitamin, mineral, and phytonutrient complex. And wow, you've got to see the video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Are you tired of paying fees and commissions to that other site? I know you are. And I'm here to tell you about a great alternative to sell your stuff. BuySellMakeOffer.com is the best-selling site to ever come along. It doesn't matter what you're selling, big or small, it's easier than ever. And you can use Skype to show your items and get to know your potential buyer, and they can see that you are for real. No more blind trust. And you're not limited to snapshots. You can video what you're selling to better sell it fast. For as little as $9.95, and that's after a free 30 days, you can sell everything you no longer want with absolutely no fees, ever. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and become part of a community of buyers and sellers who have already discovered this revolutionary way of getting it sold online. That's BuySellMakeOffer.com. You'll never regret making the switch. BuySellMakeOffer.com. So, what are you waiting for?
You want to save money in a place that gives you growth, control, and certainty without stock market risk or tax risk, and you want guarantees and you want it all tax-free. That's a tall order. But you can get all of that with properly designed participating whole life insurance. Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But you can have tax-free access to use your life insurance while you're alive. Get the free book to find out how. Call 702-660-7000.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana's been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
the stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Bill Martinez, live.
Because it is my name!
Back with
with you, America. Bill Martinez here, just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. George Barna is with us. We're talking about his brand new book just released, The Day Christians Changed America, How Christian Conservatives Put Trump in the White House and Redirected America's Future. George, we're talking about how people of faith were misunderstood, miscalculated, not polled exactly, and this possibly contributed to the big surprise. I mean, to the point that Hillary Clinton's book, what happened? And she's still trying to figure out what went on. But in your book, you talk about this new faith segment. Tell us about that.
Well, it's a group of people we call Sage Tons, which is an acronym for Spiritually Active, Governance Engaged Conservatives. These are Christian people who are deeply devout. They read the Bible every day. They participate in the life of the church. They pray to God for guidance and forgiveness and for his blessings every day. Mm-hmm. So this is a group that believes that God has called them to be light in every part of society, including politics and government.
Exactly.
So they stay well-informed about the issues. They get active in the campaigns. They talk with people about the races and what's happening in those election races. So it's a very interesting group. They represent about 10% of the voting population in America. And one of the things that I try to tell candidates when we counsel them is, look, if you're a conservative candidate, you cannot win the election by winning only Sage Cons.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot win the election unless you win a large share of Sage Cons. They will make or break it for you. And that's exactly what happened with Mr. Trump.
Well, by definition, George, I'm a Sage Con. I am a Sage Con.
Yeah, and I'm betting that a lot of the people that listen to you are as well. Mm-hmm. But, of course, the media never said boo about this group because they don't know they exist. They don't understand them. They're really not that interested in them because they don't stand for many of the things that the left is trying to promote. In fact,
exactly.
We're the ones that are pushing back.
Yeah, exactly. Well, faith seems to be playing a very different, less significant role in American society these days, as you noted. And you contend that faith was central to the 2016 election. We've touched on this a little bit, but I want you to expand a little bit more on that, if you would, for us.
Yeah, I mean, think of all the different ways that faith came into play. Number one, each of the candidates had their own faith views that informed the way that they see the world. That informs their worldview. And based on that worldview, they take their positions on the issues. They make their public statements. They're basically teaching America how to think about the world and how they want them to act in different situations. Well, faith informs a lot of that. Think about the voters. In this last election, they decided what issues were most important and what to think about the issues based on their worldview, which again is based on their faith views.
Mm-hmm.
You think about what they were looking for in candidates. We know the conservative Christians, number one on their list is they want a person with godly character. They were gravely disappointed, obviously, with both of the major party candidates.
Right.
But nevertheless, it shaped the way that they thought about those candidates. You look at the policies and the issues that rose to the top of the heap. I mean, there are literally dozens of issues that could have been major issues. The ones that rose up, it was based on people's faith views, what they think is important in terms of the heart, the soul, and the mind of Americans and the future of the country. You look at the groups that were impacting the way that people think. It wasn't just the media. We also had literally hundreds of Christian parachurch ministries that were out there knocking on doors. They were making phone calls. They were sending emails. They were distributing voter guides. All kinds of activity that impacted literally tens of millions of Americans. We know that the media diet of Americans changed significantly during the 2016 election because conservative Christians in particular were so turned off by the way that the mainstream media was handling the election. So Christian media, like your program and many others, rose up and became a much more important part of people's information collection system. And then I'd ask you finally also to think about the fact that one of the biggest influences on people's voting choice was their understanding of all the scandals that arose or were uncovered or identified during the course of the campaign. But how would we even know how to define a scandal if it weren't for our faith. Mm-hmm. What we found is that when people look at things, they go back to the Bible, even if they don't know it. There are basic principles and precepts in there that help us define right from wrong. And yes, that had a big impact on the election.
You mentioned the mainstream media. Did they invalidate themselves during this process with their spin and their obvious prejudice and also the abandonment of their role to exist, you know, their reason to exist, to document history, to truly be informative and objective as much as they could? But they seem to abandon those core principles, and a portion, I would say a sizable portion of the voting public just kind of yawned and just said, well, it's just the mainstream media, so we're going to disconnect from them.
Yeah, what we found was that as the election wore on, more and more people basically tuned out the mainstream media because they knew they were being lied to. They knew that they were getting skewed information. They knew that they weren't getting the full coverage of what was taking place out in the real world. And so more and more people, as the election went on, we're looking for alternatives. And to me, one of the most interesting things was finding that there was a segment of millions of people, primarily Christians, who gave up on the mainstream media and intentionally began searching for new types of media that they could pay attention to. Different radio stations and programs, different television networks, different print commentators, different online sources. And so by the end of the campaign, many of those people no longer even knew what the mainstream media were reporting. It was so far out of their frame of reference because they'd found a new group of media outlets that they thought was going to give them a better representation of truth.
Exactly. Well, George, conservative Christians initially had very little interest in Donald Trump, maybe because there were 16 other candidates, and I thought very good candidates on the Republican side that they were offering in terms of a choice. But what happened? Because by Election Day, they were overwhelmingly supportive.
Well, there were two things that took place. First of all, when Donald Trump announced his candidacy, he was the fifth-ranked choice among conservative Christians. So, you know, I mean, he wasn't really that high up in the ratings. Only 9% said that they would vote for him if the election were held back in the middle of 2015. But as time went on and the primary started happening, you had a lot of evangelical candidates or evangelically inclined candidates. The problem was that they kind of canceled each other out. And what that did was that opened a passing lane for Donald Trump, and he got ahead of them and ultimately got the nomination. Now, by the time we went a year after he announced his nomination, let's say June, July of 2016, and we're 4 months or so before the election itself, Trump had about 71% of the SageCon support. Now, that's normal. That's about what SageCons will typically give to a Republican or a conservative candidate running for the presidency. But in this particular election, that would not have been enough to win. And so over the last 4 months, we saw something that was unprecedented happen. And that was that Trump was able to get 93% of the SageCon vote. And that's from 91% of the SageCons who actually turned out to vote. Wow. To put that in context, only 56%, 56.5% of the rest of America turned out to vote, 91% of the SageCons. They knew this was a win or go home kind of election.
Exactly.
And so they turned up. Yeah, it was huge.
And this is why the title, The Day Christians Changed America, George Barna's new book. George, one final question as we wrap things up here. Again, we've got to have you back because there's so much more to cover. But what is the takeaway and where is the book available?
Well, you know, the takeaway is, hey, the 2020 election has already started. Many conservatives don't understand that. We've got to get in the game now.
Yes.
We're already being outworked. We're being outspent. Even as we sit here today, you know, almost 3.5 years out from the election. So we can't allow that to happen. But you can get the book either at our website, which is culturefaith.com, where there's also other information that we're getting from our national surveys.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could also get this from Amazon.com. There we've got it both as the paperback version or a digital version if you want the ebook.
And it'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. George Barna, thank you. Great stuff.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live. Bill Martinez, live.
The finest Civil War novelist writing today, the New York Journal of Books, and a master of historical fiction is what Kirkus Review says. And we're talking about our next guest, Lieutenant Colonel retired Ralph Peters joins us. His brand new book, Judgment at Appomattox. Colonel, welcome back to Bill Martinez Live. Always good to be talking to you. How you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing great because I'm talking to you and all your listeners out there. So well, thanks so much for having me on again.
Well, very kind of you, and definitely want to talk at length about your book. But before we do, people often appreciate those of you who see you as a Fox News commentator, appreciate your perspective on what is happening, particularly as it relates to North Korea these days. What do you say? I mean, this weekend, a big anniversary date, another one of a million anniversary dates they seem to celebrate, a good excuse for them to fire another missile. What do you say about that?
Well, I am genuinely concerned about this situation. Naturally, all decent human beings would prefer a peaceful solution, but it looks increasingly unlikely that that miracle is going to happen. And we cannot allow Kim Jong-un, who repeatedly, explicitly, and virulently threatens the United States and its citizens, to have nuclear weapons that can be delivered by a missile to our shores or to our territories. Bonsino, Bill, when somebody points a gun in your face, and they're walking toward you and shouting, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you, you have a legal and ethical right to use your own gun if you have one and shoot him first.
Exactly.
If that person with the gun walking toward you is also threatening your family, your wife and children, or husband and children, you have a moral obligation to do everything you can to defend them. And so we all need to step back a little bit, get some perspective, set aside the political correctness, retain our humanity, but remember that in the end, we have a right and a moral obligation to the self-defense of our citizens. And if North Korea does push to the point where it has a fully deliverable and dependable nuclear warhead and they're producing more of them to attack the, ostensibly to attack the United States, we I hate to say this, but we would have to take military action. If this isn't the Cold War where the Soviet Union was led by rational actors, ideologues though they may have been, mm-hmm. Kim Jong-un talks and behaves like a venomous madman. And I ask people here in Washington, how many dead Americans will it take before you feel good about taking on Kim Jong-un? And again, stressed, Bill, I do not want a military conflict. I do not want a war, but I will defend Americans first.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the sentiment, Colonel, that most Americans feel. You know, nobody's getting jumpy here to jump into war, but, you know, Nikki Haley said the other day that Kim Jong-un is begging for war. And it reminded me of a cautionary tale from, you know, from James Dobson, a Christian psychologist who wrote about the strong-willed child, says that if little Johnny stands behind, you know, before you with his hands on his hips wanting to be spanked, that he believes little Johnny should not be disappointed. Maybe we find ourselves a bit at that point outside of the political correctness and all the other things that you mentioned, that at some point the question must be called and we have to deal with reality.
Yeah, and I tell people, when I brief young Army officers or just audiences about the world situation, I tell them that it's great to be an idealist, but the only way to be an effective idealist is to begin with an objective, coldly rational assessment of the problem at hand. And when you do that, when you take the ideology out of it and the politics, this is someone who could potentially kill millions of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot let it happen. I don't want anyone to die unnecessarily.
Exactly.
But, you know, if it comes down to us or them, I'm for us.
Yeah, I'm with you. Ralph, people have questioned, said, look at the United States with all its technology. Why can't it shoot one of these missiles down? And I would say that if they did, then, you know, certainly you got to be ready for the next reaction. And that would be one that, you know, Kim Jong-un could ignite and just let all hell break loose into South Korea, Guam, other areas, just to wreak as much havoc as he could. Certainly that's a possibility in, I guess, assessing Kim Jong-un as being one who is very unstable and that we can't predict right now.
Well, yes, the question often comes up, why don't we shoot their missiles down?
Mm-hmm.
There are several reasons, but two salient ones. The first is, we actually learned the most about his capabilities from watching the last phase, the reentry phase of the missile, because what they still have not solved, the North Koreans still cannot build a reliable reentry vehicle, call it a nose cone, if you will, to contain and protect the nuclear weapon before it's detonated either above or on one of our cities or military bases. So we're watching that very closely. But there's another practical reason why we don't shoot them down. Our missile defenses have improved significantly, dramatically, but they're still not fully reliable.
Mm-hmm.
And were we to attempt to shoot one of his missiles down and fail, that would really encourage Kim Jong-un. Now, at the same time, I think we need to step back and question all the traditional wisdom. For instance, the idea that Seoul is a hostage and because it's within artillery range of North Korea and we can't do anything because of Seoul. Well, if we are forced to take military action against North Korea, we have to do it in such an overwhelming manner
mm-hmm.
that the damage to Seoul would probably be minimal.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
You can't take counsel of your fears.
Mm-hmm.
In Washington, there's always a good reason for doing absolutely nothing. And as a result, we just saw 500,000 Syrians die. We saw 1 million Rwandans die because Bill Clinton, you know, just didn't even want to send 100 guys or as observers. Again and again, you know, we didn't want to do anything about Al-Qaeda because terrorists were a major threat. Then we got 9/11. At some point, you got to say, no, this is serious. Mm-hmm. This is real. And we're not going to sacrifice our fellow Americans to make our consciences feel better.
Exactly. Colonel, as you and I discussed before, you know, my position has always been you got to let the generals on the field level do what they do best. They know better. And I was encouraged to see this president turn over, you know, those decisions to the field officers, because in the past we've compromised and tied the hands of these flag officers and these field officers to such a degree that they've been rendered ineffective. And we have not been able to attain the results we should have, considering, you know, the firepower, or the technology, the soldiers that we have there on the field.
You're absolutely right. And that's certainly one thing for which the Trump administration deserves credit. The president is the strategic decision maker. You know, he decides about peace or war or great initiatives we'll take abroad. But as you observed, once the decision is made, you've got to let the brain surgeons do the brain surgery.
Exactly.
You've got to let our generals, who are very experienced and honorable men, let them fight the wars and fight to win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are so many problems we face now that you can't really redeem it. I mean, Afghanistan, I just don't think we're ever going to really get there. We let it fester on too long. The mistakes we made in Iraq when Barack Obama pulled out our troops just when Iraq was finally convalescing. You know, Iraq's never going to be the ally we had hoped.
Mm-hmm.
So there are real penalties for doing nothing. I mean, people always look at the consequences of doing something. But I tell you, on Judgment Day, when I'm judged for my sins, I want to be judged for sins of commission, not sins of omission.
Omission, exactly.
Yet the worst words we could ever hear about North Korea are, we should have done something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's what we're saying right now as we look back over recent history, that this thing should have been stopped a lot sooner. But here it is. It gets more complicated the further on down the road we get. And this is what we're facing today with North Korea. And as you write in your book, The Judgment at Appomattox, which we're going to talk about when we come back, there always comes that day. Isn't that right, Colonel, where there is that judgment day that happens regardless?
Yes, indeed.
Well, retired Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters is with us. I promise we're talking about his book, Judgment at Appomattox, coming up next right after the break. Stay with us, America. It's 18 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
If you're an unincorporated business owner, it's too late for you. That is, if you've already been sued and lost your home, your car, and your personal life savings. But if you haven't been sued yet, there is still time to incorporate and protect your personal assets. And the first step is just a phone call away. Because Incorporate.com is now giving away a free incorporation toolkit to all business owners, including exclusive information on how to start and grow your business. For your free incorporation toolkit, call now 1-800-936-9256. Incorporation is the shield that protects your personal assets. Without it, you could lose everything. That's why at Incorporate.com, they just make incorporating or forming an LLC quick and easy. They don't provide legal or financial advice. If someone sues tomorrow, will you lose everything? Don't wait until it's too late. Call now for your free incorporation toolkit. Hurry, they're still giving them away for free at 1-800-936-9256. Call 1-800-936-9256. That's 1-800-936-9256.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here.
It's the way you like me, fresh every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon, Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We're back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Conversation with Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters continues. Ralph is both a popular news analyst for Fox News, today's most critically acclaimed writer of Civil War historical fiction. His latest novel paints a breathtaking picture of the last moments of the Civil War, bringing to life one of the most important scenes of American history. We're talking about Judgment at Appomattox. Ralph, this is the final of your five-part series. Each book has taken us through to remember the significance, the people that made up the history of our, you know, are still our, you know, even though it's not our initial founding, but in our development of the country. Much more important than statues that are out there, but certainly they bring to life the reason for the statues, don't they?
Well, they do indeed. And what strikes me about the current controversy about Confederate statues is that both the extreme left and the extreme right really don't understand the Civil War or the people the statues represent. They've hijacked them as symbols of their particular causes. And it troubles me deeply because in my military career, my primary function was as a Soviet analyst. I spent a lot of time in the old Soviet Union and New Russia. Mm-hmm. And this attempt to erase our history or change, alter our history to suit current taste, mm-hmm. it reminds me too much of Joseph Stalin. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in partisan history, right or left. I believe in trying to understand the facts of history.
Exactly.
Trying to understand the people who lived 150 years ago on their own terms, as opposed to trying to impose our politically correct standards upon them. I mean, you can find fault. I mean, you can find fault with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. He was not a great believer in racial equality, unlike his wife. I mean, where does it stop?
Yeah.
And I just feel that while there are some Confederate statues that I would take down, overwhelmingly, they're not about slavery. The statues on pillars of simple Confederate soldiers in front of the courthouse in so many southern towns, they're not monuments to slavery. Mm-hmm. They're monuments to the hometown boys who went away to war, believing they were fighting for their homes.
Exactly.
Because remember, although I'm a Yankee born and bred, I've got to acknowledge, when Lincoln called for volunteers to reunite the Union, that meant an invasion of the South. And that's when a lot of Southerners decided they had no choice. So many who became generals, Rhodes, Jubal Early, Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, they didn't see themselves as fighting for slavery. Mm-hmm. They saw themselves as fighting for their states, because American identities were very different in the 19th century. In the North, there was already a strong national identity. But in the South, it was still very feudal, and people thought of themselves as Virginians or Mississippians or Georgians. And so we just have to try, if you're going to judge statues the way you judge human beings as individuals, and let me give you a classic example, and then hopefully we'll talk about the book. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to tear down the statues of Stonewall Jackson because they're Confederate monuments to slavery. Mm-hmm. In the 1850s, before the Civil War, Stonewall Jackson was a professor at VMI in Lexington, Virginia, known in the region as a friend of blacks. He pushed against his neighbors to start a Sunday school for free blacks and slaves. It was a great success. Stonewall Jackson, who was then just Thomas Jonathan Jackson, he didn't want the name Stonewall yet, that came with the war, he violated Virginia law by teaching blacks to read, free blacks and slaves. He felt they had a right to read. They were human beings. They had a right to read the Bible. Above all, he was a stern Presbyterian, a true religious believer. At one point, Jackson's reputation is so positive among blacks that a black slave about to be sold down into the brutal cotton culture of the Deep South begs Jackson to buy him and save him. And Jackson is a professor at VMI, but he scrapes together the money, buys the slave, immediately turns him loose to earn his living. The individual goes to work as a waiter in the local hotel, saves his money, pays Jackson back, and becomes a free man. Now, is that the man, Thomas Jonathan Jackson, Stonewall Jackson, do we really want to take his statues down? When he stood against his own community and the local laws to stick up for blacks and teach them to read? I mean, for God's sakes, learn. Don't just shoot off your mouth. Right. Whether you're on the far left or far right, learn the facts.
Exactly.
And not just propaganda you made up.
Well, and to your point, we often say on this show, Ralph, that in the absence of fact, opinion rules, and this is the problem. We've got a lot of opinion. The mainstream media has abandoned their main reason to exist. That's to document history. And we find ourselves a bit Orwellian these days, dealing in these gray issues, making up stories and rewriting history. Very dangerous.
In all the things I've been privileged to do in my life, to serve in our military as an enlisted man and officer, to work in the media, to work as a columnist, to work as a researcher overseas, to me the most important thing I've done was writing these books on the Civil War, because they're absolutely honest. I try to understand those men and women on their own terms, to be objective, to not let my personal Northern heritage interfere. We have to understand these people. They're complex individuals making anguished decisions. It wasn't easy for them, North or South, and not every Northerner was an abolitionist by any means. So look at the various reasons why they fought. And I just try very hard to give the American people an entertaining and interesting and page-turning read. But I stick to the facts. These books are called fiction because we don't have a better category. Mm-hmm. I think of them as dramatized history because they're factually absolutely correct. Every character is a real historical person, right down to the Irish private from Louisiana who served in the Louisiana Tigers and made it all the way to Appomattox. He's a real person, too, not just the generals and the other officers, because I'm trying hard to bring history to life for people. And Judgment at Appomattox deals with the last two brutal weeks of the Civil War in Virginia, where Petersburg falls, Lee escapes with his army, and they have nothing to eat. They're marching day and night. Grant and Meade are trying to catch them with these massive federal forces. And their battles are major skirmishes every single day. as these starving men are fighting to survive, Lee's trying to make up North Carolina to unite with the other last Confederate army in the East. Grant is determined to end it right there and put an end to this war, because Lee's army is the vital army. When Lee surrenders, the war is technically not over, but it is in all essence. And Lee, Robert E. Lee, you got to remember this guy who's fought so hard, who made the anguished decision to go with his state rather than remain in the U.S. Army in 1861. Now he and his sons and his nephew, all Confederate generals, West Point graduates, they don't know. Lee doesn't know if they will be tried for treason and hanged.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's very up close and personal for these guys. And one of the great acts of magnanimity, one of the wisest acts in our history, is Ulysses S. Grant, who has an almost telepathic understanding with Lincoln, that after the war, you don't punish the South. It's devastated. Give them a hand. Yeah. Reconciliation should be the order of the day.
Yeah, let them have their dignity.
Right, and Grant does that. He lets Confederate officers keep their sidearms. Sounds like a small thing. It's about dignity. The average Confederate cavalryman or artilleryman has furnished his own horse. He gets to keep his horse and go back for the spring plowing. Grant feeds these starving men. Above all, he paroles every one of them from Leon down with a guarantee that if they return to their homes in peace, they will be unmolested by the federal government. And that's a critical promise, because after Lincoln's shot, and that's a great tragedy for the South, is that Lincoln's assassinated.
Exactly.
The vengeful Northerners, President Johnson, Sumner, and others, they want, about a year after the war, they want to arrest Lee and try him for treason. And Ulysses S. Grant, who, you know, he takes a stand and he said, no, we promised Lee he would be unmolested. And if you do this, and at this point, Grant's the most popular man, not just in the North, but in the country. Mm-hmm. And Grant says, if you do this, I will resign my commission publicly and fight you all the way. I promised Lee he could live in peace. And Johnson backs down. And Robert E. Lee, who's very ill, he has angina, rheumatism, digestive problems that plagued him throughout the war. He's prematurely old. He gets to live out his last few years in peace in the Shenandoah Valley as president of Washington College, which is now Washington Lee University. It's just so much more human and more complex than the nonsensical, repulsive Hollywood romances make it out to be, or than novels that apologize for either side, say nothing of slavery, make it out to be. It was a complex country then, just as it is now. Human beings were as complex then as they are now. The only salient difference I see between men and women today and then is that in the Civil War period, yes, they were more fervent in their Christianity. They had a more literal and visceral belief in the afterlife, and it enabled them to acts of courage unthinkable today.
Well, for those people that have any doubt about the history of America, this is a series I highly recommend that you dive into. Seriously, the research that is involved, as the Colonel just shared with us, he has been true to the research and to the facts. This is a novel. I guess this is about as real as fiction can be, Colonel. So we thank you for all your hard work on it. And congratulations on the book, Judgment at Appomattox. It's at all the usual places and will be linked at our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Ralph Peters on Bill Martinez Live. Colonel, thank you so much. Been an honor.
Thank you so very much, Bill.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when, and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.